This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The Cuomo fall is complete. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, August 11th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
After months of pressure, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has resigned in the midst of a sexual harassment scandal. Here are his public remarks.
Trillions of dollars fast-tracked in the Senate. First, infrastructure, then, early this morning, $3.5 trillion in a budget blueprint.
A COVID surge has put some Texas hospitals near capacity. Meanwhile, overseas, France and Italy now require proof of vaccine status for restaurants.
And so much for those optimistic plans about bringing workers back to the office.
A few weeks ago, felt pretty confident about what they'd expect this fall. They thought offices would reopen, business travel would resume, they'd finally be able to have those offsites and conventions and trade shows that had been put off. They thought they'd be able to do all that in person. And as the pandemic has done during so much of this period, it has once again upended plans.
Chip Cutter at the Wall Street Journal on the Delta variant wreaking more havoc. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is done, forced to resign in the face of an expanding sexual harassment scandal and an impeachment effort by fellow Democrats in Albany. It ends a 10-year run in the middle of his third term. Mr. Cuomo, who's 63 years old, has resisted calls to step down in the months since he was first accused of harassing female aides, and he struck a defiant tone during yesterday's announcement.
I thought a hug and putting my arm around a staff person while taking a picture was friendly. But she found it to be too forward. I kissed a woman on the cheek at a wedding, and I thought I was being nice. But she felt that it was too aggressive.
He said the most serious allegations, including one that he had groped a staffer, had no factual basis. His political career began with helping his father, Mario Cuomo, who served three terms as New York governor. His successor, Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, also a Democrat, will be the first woman to serve as governor of New York. She takes over in 2 weeks. Well, the Senate has passed a roughly $1 trillion infrastructure package with broad bipartisan support. 19 Republicans joined all 50 Democrats in approving it yesterday. The White House originally wanted $400 billion to cover in-home care for elderly and disabled Americans, and another $213 billion for retrofitting and building affordable housing. Those are not present in the current package. But Democrats might pursue some of those excluded measures, like raising the corporate tax rate in a separate $3.5 trillion package. South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
There's no way in hell to pay for this bill unless you fundamentally raise taxes across the board, at a time we're struggling to get back on our feet.
Democrats plan to approve that bill through a budget process called reconciliation, which would allow them to pass it without GOP support. A blueprint of that package cleared the Senate just before 4 o'clock this morning Eastern Time with only Democratic support. The party faces difficult work in transforming the framework into detailed legislation. Two Texas judges have issued temporary restraining orders, which will temporarily block the enforcement of Governor Greg Abbott's latest emergency order involving masks. The governor's order, issued last month, included language that no government entity, including school districts, could require mask wearing. Dallas and Austin have announced mask requirements in defiance of the governor. Meanwhile, in Austin, officials are warning that the hospital situation is critical, as the number of available intensive care unit beds fell to single digits. Dr. Peter Hotez is director of the Texas Children's Center for Vaccine Development.
We're starting now to see a really steep rise in hospitalizations, more among young people, because that's the most vulnerable population now in terms of low vaccination rates.
On Monday, Governor Abbott asked hospitals to delay elective medical procedures. To the east, several Florida counties are defying an order by Governor Ron DeSantis that suggests punishments for school districts that require masks in classrooms. Coming up next, what now for the Biden spending ambitions?
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. President Biden had big visions for his infrastructure plan. It would jumpstart the economic recovery, counter racial inequities, and combat climate change. Schools, public housing, and child care centers would get money for upgrades. Americans would receive help paying for health care, including in their homes. But as reporter Tanya Snyder at Politico points out, none of those ambitions survived in the bill that the Senate approved yesterday. Tanya, explain.
Bipartisanship really took a pretty big toll on the Democrats' dreams as they went into this package. Remember, Democrats have been, both parties actually, members of both parties have been trying to get an infrastructure deal through for a long time. Obama tried, Trump famously tried, had many infrastructure weeks, none of them yielded a real package. And Biden made it a priority and came in with majorities in the House and Senate and someone in the House who had been really working his entire 34-year career in Congress to make big changes to transportation, big progressive, climate-friendly changes to the way that we fund and set policy for transportation. And it really seemed like the table was set for a really transformative swing at the way that we deal with transportation in Washington. And what we ended up with in this bipartisan deal is basically a continuation of the way that we've been setting policy, the way that we've been funding transportation since the Eisenhower era, which is exactly what Peter DeFazio in the House and Joe Biden were hoping to avoid.
Somebody said in your story but that infrastructure is not bipartisan. What did they mean by that?
So there, every time there's an infrastructure or transportation bill in Congress, there is some sort of partisan divide and then lots of people complaining, but infrastructure is always bipartisan. Infrastructure always used to be bipartisan. We always used to do these bills in a bipartisan way. And in fact, often the bills in the end would end up being bipartisan, but it took a lot of sacrifice from both parties to get there because actually the ideological issues around transportation and infrastructure are quite partisan. Democrats want to fund modes of transportation that are better for congestion reduction in cities and increasingly now that are better for the environment as well, that are more sustainable, that are more green, transit, walking, biking. Republicans think these things are a waste of money. They say that the primary way that we fund transportation is the gas tax into something that's called the Highway Trust Fund, and they want to keep it for highways. So those are the essence of it. And then always there are just debates, partisan debates about how much to spend, whether things need to be completely paid for, whether deficit spending for an infrastructure investment is appropriate. All of these things are very much partisan issues.
We're speaking with Tanya Snyder, transportation reporter at Politico. Her piece is called Democrats' Infrastructure Visions Take a Bipartisan Detour. So ultimately, as somebody said in your story, the status quo holds sway.
Right, exactly. And that's really what we ended up with in this bill is very much a status quo bill. Now, what's coming next is this reconciliation bill, which is $3.5 trillion of purely Democratic priorities. But it's unlikely that the kind of infrastructure, hard infrastructure, physical infrastructure, real infrastructure, as the Republicans called it, will really get much play in there at all. That's going to be more of the kinds of quote unquote human infrastructure, elements, child care, elder care, public housing, that Republicans really just refused to entertain as part of what they would, what they were not willing to call that infrastructure and pass that under an infrastructure bill.
Thanks, Tanya. Tanya Snyder, transportation reporter at Politico. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate narrowly approved a $3.5 trillion spending blueprint for President Biden's top priorities early this morning after lawmakers sparred over the need for massive spending to fight climate change and poverty. The vote came after the Senate yesterday passed a $1 trillion infrastructure bill in a bipartisan 69-30 vote. President Biden welcomed the bill's passage.
This bill is going to put people to work, modernizing our roads and our highways and our bridges so commuters and truckers don't lose time in traffic, saving billions of dollars nationally.
Number two.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has announced his resignation effective in 2 weeks following sexual harassment accusations brought by 11 women who work for him.
I think that given the circumstances, the best way I can help now is if I step aside and let government get back to governing.
Cuomo says he's deeply sorry for any behavior deemed inappropriate during his time in office, but denies the allegations. Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul will take over.
Number three.
COVID cases have filled so many Florida hospital beds that ambulance services and fire departments are straining to respond to emergencies. In St. Petersburg, some patients are waiting inside ambulances for up to an hour before hospitals can admit them. Governor Ron DeSantis denies reports that the Department of Health and Human Services has asked FEMA for additional ventilators.
I've not had any requests across my desk. I've not been notified of that.
COVID hospitalizations in Florida rose by more than 1,100 yesterday. Tropical storm Fred has developed just south of Puerto Rico and is heading for the Dominican Republic and Haiti. Forecasters are warning that its heavy rains could cause dangerous flooding and mudslides. Florida could be in the storm's path, but forecasters say it's too early to determine the exact track. Get ready to dig a little deeper to mail your holiday packages this year. The Postal Service plans to charge more for packages shipped during the holidays to offset the rising cost of deliveries at the busiest time of year. The agency wants to add surcharges on most packages shipped between October 3rd and December 26th, saying the fees would apply to both commercial and retail customers. The fees would range from 25 cents for smaller packages to $5 for heavier items traveling longer distances.
That's going to have to be reflected in the gift giving this year. Sorry.
Yep.
I'm going to have to cut back. Thanks, Jen. Next is back to school spending in trouble.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, glad you're with us. Concerns over the Delta variant and supply chain issues that have made it hard to find items like backpacks are upending back-to-school shopping plans for families, prompting some to curtail spending. Suzanne Kapner, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, says the uncertainty comes just as retailers are gearing up for what's been expected to be record back-to-school shopping. Suzanne, what are you hearing?
Yeah, I mean, retailers, the industry retail group is predicting this will be the record spending for back-to-school, the most ever since it's been tracking this since 2003. And everything looked really good up until about 2 weeks ago when, you know, this Delta variant was causing coronavirus cases to start spiking again, and companies have now started to delay return to work plans, and you know, you're seeing, you know, mask requirements being put back in place. And although, you know, schools are still planning to open in person, some parents are now worrying that maybe that won't be the case after all. And they're starting to rethink how much money they want to spend for back to school this year.
And on top of that, you cited a few examples, too, where folks are heading into some of these stores. You referenced a Target, L.L. Bean, maybe DSW, and they're just not finding the merchandise they were hoping to find.
Right. So retailers, along with a lot of other companies, have been dealing with these supply chain backups. You know, as Asian factories have temporarily closed, there have been shipping delays, there's congestion at the ports. And that means things like backpacks, lunchboxes, water bottles can be somewhat hard to find. Now, the retailers, you know, DSW, Target, Staples all said that they've been working extra hard to kind of flow stuff in earlier than usual to make sure they'd be in stock. But, you know, I definitely talked to some shoppers who couldn't find what they were looking for.
Jeez. How about some of the stats for expected spending this year on back to school materials?
Well, the National Retail Federation is expecting that parents or shoppers with children in kindergarten through 12th grade will spend a total of something like $37 billion, which is a record, most ever since they began tracking this in 2003.
Wow. We're speaking with Suzanne Kapner, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called Delta Variant Clouds Back to School Shopping Plans. So if it's not full steam ahead, and I hate to think of it, and some kids wind up remote again, which I think nobody wants, then what for these retailers?
Well, you know, then it's going to be, you know, yet another sort of disappointing season. They'll be left with extra goods that they can't sell. It raises a lot of questions as we head into the holiday season. You know, even, you know, talking to some executives who are now worried as there have been COVID outbreaks again in some Asian factories, they've had to temporarily close down. Is that going to make it hard to get goods for the all-important Christmas season? It's just, you know, it's another sort of, you know, stop and start that we've seen in other industries where, you know, you think things are back on track. As one parent said to me, you know, a week ago I thought everything was fine, and now there are a lot of question marks again.
Thanks, Suzanne. Suzanne Kapner, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This is pretty sobering. Every 10 seconds, someone becomes a victim of fraud or ID theft. And even worse, 23% never recover their money. If you think it can happen to you, that's what they're counting on. But now, there's Aura. Aura is all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and more. And Aura alerts you to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. It's a new type of security service that protects all of your online information with one simple subscription. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. Right now, Aura is offering our listeners early access and 3 free months when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get access before anyone else and 3 months for free. That's aura.com/Gordon.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Wednesday, August 11. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. The Senate passes an infrastructure bill and a $3.5 trillion budget blueprint. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo resigns. The National Security Agency's watchdog says it's reviewing spying allegations made by Fox News host Tucker Carlson. Samsung today expect to unveil new flip and foldable phones. The Perseid meteor shower now lighting up the night skies. Alabama, Clemson, and Oklahoma tops in a preseason college football poll, and a new milestone for the prank known as Rickrolling. That story in about 20 minutes. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is out. He resigned yesterday in the wake of a report that found he violated state and federal sexual harassment laws, capping months of speculation over his fate. In a press conference, Mr. Cuomo said the attorney general's report and an impeachment probe had become a distraction. He said his resignation would become effective in 14 days and that Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul, a Democrat, would succeed him. In-depth analysis now from Jeff Gio, Democratic strategist in New York and founding partner of Millennial Strategies. Jeff, your reaction.
I think the governor was a dead man walking as soon as the attorney general published that very damning and very credible report. And I think it became abundantly clear that this was imminent, you know, right around the time last week when President Biden said that the governor should step aside. And, you know, he has every right to try to figure out, you know, what his best option may have been, or if there was a deal to be made with the legislature to avoid impeachment. But clearly there wasn't. Clearly there was simply no appetite among the state legislature, among other office holders, and among, you know, perhaps his own staff, for him to remain in power. And as a result, you got the, you know, the incredible and you know, really, really interesting statement that you saw from him today.
All right. So what kind is you reference it? What kind of deal could have been struck with the legislature, for example?
Well, there were rumors that the governor was looking to cut a deal to avoid impeachment, remain in office, and not run for re-election, you know, trying to use his seat as collateral to be able to probably, you know, give the legislature more power going into the next session, right? A lame duck governor going into an election year, you know, could have been through some prisms valuable to the state legislature, but there was simply no appetite for that. Quite frankly, I think that if you were to have held an impeachment vote this morning at 9 a.m., the vote might have been 150-0. There was just no confidence in moving forward.
He had kind of this puzzling statement in his news conference saying, in my mind, I've never crossed the line, but I didn't realize the extent to which the line has been redrawn. Was that a tacit admission of guilt?
I think it was a tacit admission of guilt. I mean, you got to understand, too, that, you know, if this discourse plays out the way that it normally would, and if the justice system does what it's supposed to do, you know, it's very likely the governor is going to face civil lawsuits, perhaps from all 11 victims, and perhaps from, I heard there were two more coming forward yesterday. So he has to be very, very careful with the words he uses in public, because they may be used against him later on in court. So I'm sure that part of the statement was very carefully drafted by his outside counsel, and perhaps the governor's closest advisors, best inoculate him from whatever comes next.
What does this mean? This is not his first scandal. What does this mean for the Democratic Party in general, say, in New York State?
Well, I think the party itself, you know, is going to soldier on. It would seem that at least initially there is confidence that Lieutenant Governor Kathy Hochul can at least manage the ship of state for the time being. But I don't think there's any way that the party is able to avoid a contentious June primary next year for governor. And if the sitting attorney general, Letitia James, chooses to run for governor, then you're going to have, you know, for the third time in the last, you know, 11 or 12 years, an open seat Democratic primary for attorney general, which in itself could be an event where you have five candidates and you have $30 million spent. I mean, so, you know, look for some violence on the Democratic side between now and the June primary. But at the end of the day, you know, New York is such a solidly Democratic state.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Guillo, Democratic strategist in New York. Coming up next, Labor Day back-to-work plans fall apart. It's true. Half of our faces have been hidden for a while. And now that we can really be outside again, it's time to pay attention to that lower half again, the part that Harry's specializes in. Get your smooth, clean-shaven look back again with Harry's. Redeem a Harry's trial set when you visit harrys.com/deal. I'm constantly amazed at how close my shave is every day. With the ergonomic handle, Harry's blades glide and leave my skin incredibly smooth. All for as low as $2 a blade. Still, even now that they're sharper and last longer than ever. Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/deal. You get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's truly never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to try Harry's today.
Thanks for being with us. Up until a few weeks ago, corporate leaders felt confident about what to expect this fall. Offices would reopen after Labor Day. Business travel would resume more broadly. Long-delayed work gatherings, conventions, and off-site meetings would finally take place. The pandemic has, once again, upended many of those plans thanks to the Delta variant. Wall Street Journal reporter Chip Cutter says now September is no longer a return target for many companies.
Companies, even a few weeks ago, felt pretty confident about what they'd expect this fall. They thought offices would reopen, business travel would resume, they'd finally be able to have those offsites and conventions and trade shows that had been put off. They thought they'd be able to do all that in person. And as the pandemic has done during so much of this period, it has once again upended plans, and many companies are having to really rethink things.
Boy, all right, so give an example. Who'd you talk to?
So it's a whole range of prominent employers that are making a shift in plans. So companies like Amazon, for example, thought they'd bring people back this fall and are now saying that they'll bring their corporate employees back into offices in January. Lyft, for example, has moved its return to office date to February. Other companies have shifted from September to October. That would include people like companies like Wells Fargo or Warby Parker, for example. So you see sort of a range of approaches here. And what many bosses are telling me is that this has suddenly gotten pretty complicated for them because there are so many unknowns at the moment. They don't know sort of what's going to happen with this uptick in cases. They're now newly concerned about schools and whether schools will reopen as planned. That will affect office reopenings. And so you can just see just another wave of uncertainty kind of rippling across corporate America.
And again, mostly white collar workers here affected by this.
That's right. I mean, many companies with sort of frontline workers, those people have been back on the jobs. So this is really affecting those sort of white-collar professionals who can do their jobs at home. They can be successful, you know, working on a laptop at their homes. What many companies have found, though, is that, you know, certainly workers don't want to give up those remote work arrangements entirely, but they were eager to sort of return to offices maybe a few days a week. Maybe they hope to be able to see colleagues in person. And I think this has sort of been an emotional blow for a lot of people. They sort of saw a light at the end of the tunnel here for the fall. Now this looks a little more complicated. That is sort of changing the mood. I think CNN President Jeff Zucker sort of summed this up well. CNN delayed its return by a month to October, and said Jeff Zucker said he's feeling a mix of anticipation, anxiety, frustration, confusion, and exasperation. So sort of all of those emotions that I think are sort of there across corporate America right now.
We're speaking with Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Companies Thought They Had Plans for Fall. Now they are scrapping them. And that's in large part due to the growth of the Delta variant. So even to the CNN example, I mean, October really is just a guess. That's anybody's guess.
That's anyone's guess at this point. The CEO of Warby Parker, for example, told me that's their earliest thinking, at the earliest we'll bring people back to our offices in Nashville, Tennessee, and New York in early October, but that could shift. And I think that's true for all of these timelines. Some companies have stopped giving return dates altogether, just not wanting to have to keep delaying them. One example of that is the tech giant Dell. It said it sent a memo to its employees last week saying that in the U.S., all of its sites had sort of gone from green to red on an internal risk dashboard, and the company's chief operating officer told workers, we'll get back in touch with you when we feel more confident about when a reopening can be scheduled. So some companies are just postponing indefinitely right now.
Anybody saying at this point, Chip, that, hey, listen, this coronavirus, this COVID-19 is just endemic. It is just going to be with us, and we're going to have to figure out how to handle it.
We are starting to hear some of those calls and some people saying that. For example, a number of executives have said that, you know, the best path right now is for everybody to get a vaccine. We've certainly seen the sentiment shift on vaccine mandates in corporate America. Many companies that had been resistant to them are now requiring them. And so I think some bosses are sort of keeping return to office dates right now, putting mask mandates back in place, in some cases putting vaccine mandates in place. Some sort of don't want to blow up their plans, even with this uptick in cases.
All right, thanks, Chip. Chip Cutter, reporter at the Wall Street Journal.
For your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Woo! Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices in Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into a Wednesday. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democrats early this morning pushed their expansive $3.5 trillion framework for bolstering family services, health, and environmental programs towards Senate passage, as Republicans argued it would waste money and fuel inflation. That followed yesterday's passage of a $1 trillion bipartisan infrastructure package, Vice President Kamala Harris.
We are not going to raise middle-class taxes to pay for it, because that's what the president promised, and that is what we must deliver.
The House will now take up the infrastructure measure.
Number two.
Kathy Hochul, a Western New York Democrat unfamiliar to many people in the state even after 6 years as its lieutenant governor, is set to begin reintroducing herself to the public today as she prepares to take the reins after Governor Andrew Cuomo announced he would resign. The 62-year-old in 2 weeks will become the state's first female governor. Cuomo announced his resignation yesterday while continuing to deny allegations of sexual misconduct.
The most serious allegations made against me had no credible factual basis in the report.
Number three.
The Texas House Speaker has signed 52 arrest warrants for Democrats who left the state for Washington, D.C. in July and have yet to return to the House chamber for the second special legislative session of the year. The warrants came after Texas House Republicans voted to direct state law enforcement to track down and compel the attendance of absent Democrats, the second time such a vote has been taken during the quorum bust. People in the Pacific Northwest are bracing for another major multi-day heat wave just over a month after record-shattering hot weather killed hundreds of the region's most vulnerable when temperatures soared to 116 degrees. It's likely temps will rise above 100 for three consecutive days. Well, if you got caught up in the Spirit Airlines snafu last week, you may get some relief. The Transportation Department is investigating the carrier's response to its operational meltdown. Officials have been in contact with Spirit after it canceled as many as 60% of its daily flights over 6 days. Under federal law, airlines that cancel flights or significantly alter a scheduled flight must provide passengers with a reasonable alternative, and if the passenger chooses not to take the alternative flight, promptly provide a refund. Spirit's cancellations were down to about 2% of its flights yesterday.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'll watch that. If you're a Spirit customer, don't hold your breath. Thanks, Jen. Coming up next, a milestone for a popular prank.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Since 2007, Rickrolling has been one of the internet's most enduring pranks. Someone sends a link that appears to be a video or news clip, but the recipient is instead treated to the music video for Rick Astley's 1987 hit, Never Gonna Give You Up. And now the official version of the video has surpassed 1 billion views on YouTube, a rare feat for a pre-internet music video. It's only the fourth from the 1980s to reach that rarefied status, alongside Billie Jean, Sweet Child of Mine, and Take On Me. The Washington Post says, like so many internet phenomena, it's impossible to trace the origin of the prank. YouTuber Eric Hellwig has claimed that he performed the first Rickroll in 2006, calling into a local sports radio show and playing the song instead of speaking. For his part, Mr. Astley seems to have taken the prank in stride, pointing out to Rolling Stone that the meme helped introduce him to a new generation while reminding an older one of his glory days. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.